United States Marine Corps is on the air.
This is Tiny Ruffner, announcer for the United States Marine Corps, bringing you another in a series of thrilling adventures based on experiences taken from the annals of this branch of Uncle Sam's fighting forces. The scene of our story today is the South Seas, the island of Sumatra, the harbor of Kuala Batu. Within a few yards of each other, two ships are anchored in the harbor. Two merchantmen. One the Friendship, the other the Falcon Bell. Each is moored alongside a wooden jetty that sticks out from the beach. In the cabin of the Falcon Bell, her skipper, Captain Hanna, and Captain Endicott of the Friendship have just finished supper.
Well, Captain Hanna, that was a fine supper, fine supper.
It's Falcon Bell grub, isn't it, Captain Endicott?
Yes, I'll admit that it is.
Don't blame me if the food's better than it is on that tub of yours.
All right, Hanna. Have your little joke. So good to see a friendly face, I don't mind.
Yes, pretty wild, lonesome part of the world, these South Seas.
This island of Sumatra is something to write home about right now.
Had any trouble?
Oh, no, not yet. But I don't like this fellow.
Oh, this fellow Brogy?
Yeah, that's him. I wonder where he learned English so good.
Half caste. Spent some time in the Philippines, they say.
Him and his saloon and his store and his girl at Shasta.
Oh, her.
Of course, as I say, I've had no trouble. Paid him his money, and he moved my cargo of pepper down to the jetty, and...
I hope you inspected all of it.
Oh, yes, of course. Well, it's all aboard now, and we'll be underway in the morning. Yes, I'll be relieved, I can tell you. I got $12,000 of English money aboard.
$12,000?
Money for that cargo I delivered.
Yes,
it's been a good voyage, my friend. My owners stand to make $30,000 or $40,000 out of the Friendship this time.
Well, this Brogy's pretty bad, but I don't think he'd dare come aboard the Friendship and cause trouble, Captain Endicott.
No, I guess not. But I'll be glad to shove off just the same.
Yes, I know how you feel. Well, shall we get a little air?
Good idea. Yes, I gotta be getting back to the Friendship anyway. My mate and a couple of hands are stowing the last of the cargo.
Yes, it don't pay to get caught with cargo stowed too high on this ocean, huh?
Oh, that part's all right. I got a good mate.
Better take no, say. Captain Endicott, say.
Yeah?
Here we've been sitting and chawing for 3 hours or more, and gosh, I forgot to ask you.
What?
Hey, you got an officer named Hiram Drew?
Hiram Drew?
Yeah, tall young feller with dark hair.
Why, he's my mate. Joined me in Shanghai 6 months ago.
Well, snarl my halyards. Hi, Drew.
Hey, where'd you know him?
Where'd I? Why, Hiram's my neighbor's boy back home.
No.
Yes, many's the time I've bobbed him on my knee. This one right here. Why, his ma told me she'd had a letter saying he's with you, and I plumb forgot.
Well, he's right over there in the Friendship now, him and the two men.
Well, I'm going to walk over with you and shake hands with High.
Proud to have you, Captain.
Come on. Uh-oh, what's that hawser, Captain?
I got it.
Well. Say, tell me, Endicott, what kind of an officer is High?
Fine. Good, steady boy.
Navigator?
Good.
And a wind?
Hails him with all he'll hold, but never crowds him.
Well. Hey, what a story to take home to his ma.
Yes.
You know, she sets great store by him. Great store. I ain't seen him since he's a man grown, you know.
No.
Right. Well, I'd be glad to shake his hand.
Well, here's the jetty. Here's the Friendship. Now, let me see. Mr. Drew ought to be about midship, right over there.
I'll call him. Hiram! Ahoy, Hiram!
Maybe going below for a minute.
Hiram! Ahoy, hi! Here's a message from your ma.
Wait till he hears that. That'll bring him a running.
Hey, Hiram!
Well, that's odd.
Maybe he's left the ship, too.
Mr. Drew wouldn't leave the ship. Here, we'll go up the gangplank. Mr. Drew! Whaler! Smith!
Ahoy! Rest of the crew ashore, Captain Endicott?
Yes. Well, come on, let's go below. Wait.
Huh?
Hanna, look. There on the deck.
Oh.
Hiram, too.
Men, when we started across the deck, there were the bodies of my mate, Mr. Drew, and the two seamen, Whaler and Smith, all murdered. The strong box in the cabin had been broken open, and $12,000 had been stolen, and all the cargo I bought from you had been removed from the hold. Now, I want justice, Mr. Brogy.
Mr. Brogy, listen to him. He's King Brogy on this island, Captain Endicott, and you better remember it.
King Brogy, then, your highness, or whatever you'll have.
Ah, you don't like that, Captain Endicott?
He better like it. Listen here, Captain. The king here has got every chief on this island right where he wants him.
All right, just so.
Well, I want to
say... Shut up, King Brogy.
Something's got to be done.
All right. What do you want me to do?
You? Why, I
won't... You ain't maybe hinting I did it, are you, Captain?
I'm accusing nobody, but I...
You better not if you know what is good,
Shut up. Now, see here, King Brogy. You're the law in Kuala Batu, and I expect justice. I want the murderers of my mates and my men punished, and I want
them... Now, I'm supposed to look all over this island for a couple of fellas. Just because you couldn't look after your own stuff, eh?
But you say you're the...
Get out of here, Endicott. Don't bother me no more. You hear? Don't bother me no more. You hear, Endicott?
You're making a great mistake, King Brogy. You're forgetting something. Something very important.
I ain't forgetting nothing.
But King Brogy, as he called himself, was forgetting something important. Something very important. The Friendship was a United States merchantman engaged in legitimate trade. Hiram Drew and the other two men who were murdered on the Friendship were citizens of the United States. And every citizen of the United States has a right to and gets the protection of the United States Navy and the United States Marines. One afternoon, not so long after King Brogy dismissed Captain Endicott, as Brogy and his girl Shasta sat in deep chairs on the veranda of his stores and saloon, three sailors mounted the steps and sat down at the table. From their dress, the sailors appeared to be three ordinary seamen from some trading schooner. But as Brogy had seen no ship anchor in Kuala Batu Harbor, he asked Shasta,
"Who are those three guys, Shasta?"
"I don't know. Coffee tramp, I guess."
"Yeah, but where is it?"
"That is right. No ship is in."
"Go see what you can find out. See what they'll have."
"Oh, you want people to think I'm a waitress?"
"Go on before I take
my..." All right.
"You're getting pretty high toned around here."
"Hello, sailor."
"Hiya."
"Hiya."
"What ship are you off
of?" "We're from a whaleboat."
"Oh, yeah."
"Yeah, that's right, sister."
"And don't call me sister."
"No."
"No, you don't know who I am around here, do you?"
"Oh, you own the place, ma'am?"
"Well, practically."
"Oh, then could we have a sandwich and a glass of beer, maybe?"
"Certainly. But what is this stuff about a whaleboat?"
"Yeah, that's right."
"Oh, loosen up, Showbrick. And tell the lady the truth."
"Yeah. Well, you see, our ship's hove to 3 miles outside, rudder foul. And the skipper let us come ashore on a whaleboat while she's being fixed."
"Oh."
"My name's Pinkham, and his is Showbrick, and his is Edson."
"Hiya."
"What's yours?"
"Shasta."
"Oh, Shasta, hey?" "Oh."
"Yeah. You Americans or English?" "What's funny?"
"Well, we were just thinking how maybe both the Americans and the English would like to claim us, if they could catch us."
"Oh, I get it."
"Hey, Miss Shasta, you say you practically own this place. What's that mean?"
"Well, him and me are engaged, practically."
"That guy over there?"
"Yes, and you don't need to use that tone. He's King Brogy, and I mean king. You see that hill over there?"
"Yeah."
"Well, he's got a big fort there full of men. And you see that hill there?"
"Yeah."
"There's another fort there. And enough men with guns to shoot up the whole beach. And you see that big hill there?"
"Shasta."
"Yeah?"
"Come over here."
"All right. I'll be back in a minute."
"Oh, sure. Take your time."
"Sure. We're no rush."
"What'd you find out?"
"They're off a trader 3 miles out. It's got rudder trouble and they came ashore in a whaleboat."
"Oh, they did."
"They're all right. They said they're wanted by both the Americans and the English."
"What was you talking about?"
"Nothing."
"It was pointing over toward the fort. Were you telling them about the fort?"
"Well, no, I wasn't."
"Well, you better not. If you... Hey, they're leaving. All three of them."
"Hey, don't you want something to eat or drink?"
"Oh, we'll be back later."
"Yeah, we'll take a little walk or
so." "All right."
"I wonder what those guys are up to.
Well, Lieutenant Shubrick, what did you and your men find out?"
"Three of us went to Brogy's place, Captain. Three reconnoitered along the beach. Brogy has the place pretty well fortified. Three forts, and they all look pretty strong, sir."
You know the location of each?
Yes, sir, we do.
How many men do you think you'll need?
About 250, sir.
Very well, Lieutenant Kubrick. Take them.
Thank you, sir.
We'll sail right into the town so you can have the help of the ship's guns. Make your dispositions and give all instructions as we sail in.
Aye, sir.
And more than ever, Lieutenant, I'll expect you Marines to live up to the tradition of your corps. Three Americans were murdered in cold blood here, and Captain Endicott, an American citizen, was robbed. We've got to show these savages just what American citizenship means.
The Marines will do it, sir.
And the Marines did do it, living up as always to the tradition of the Marine Corps. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, the landing party under the command of Lieutenant Shubrick embarked in boats and proceeded toward their objectives. When they reached the shore, they immediately attacked the three strong camouflage forts that King Brogy's girl Shasta had so obligingly pointed out. Lieutenant Shubrick directed Lieutenant Pinkham and one detachment to take the first fort nearest the beach, and Lieutenant Edson and one detachment to take the fort in the rear of the town. Lieutenant Shubrick himself set out to take the third fort, to which Brogy had retreated at the sound of the first shot. The fighting on all three fronts was sharp, hard, tough. But while Lieutenants Pinkham and Edson swept away resistance and captured the first two forts in short order, the third fort, Lieutenant Shubrick's objective, proved more difficult. However, with reinforcements which arrived later, the Marines under Lieutenant Shubrick speedily leveled that third and last fort and then set fire to Brogy's whole town of Falabatu and reduced most of it to ashes. By the next day, under the heavy pounding of the ship's guns, not only Brogy, but all the native chiefs in his gang begged for peace, having learned sadly and well the full meaning of American citizen.